Leader and deliverer. I'm going to do something different this morning. I want us to read through the scriptures that we will be maybe looking at. So I'm going to read it through. It'll be up there. Let me read it through once. Matthew 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then I want to turn to James. James chapter 1. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Next scripture. This should be 1 John. Hopefully I got that right. Yep. 1 John 2, verse 15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then chapter 4, verse 10 and 19. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. And then 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word that is inspired by your Spirit, that is profitable for us as we hear it, as we take hold of it, and as it does its work in us to correct us, to transform us, to lead us, to encourage us. I pray that this morning we would hear Christ and him crucified and what it means for us who are here. Let your word remain, Father, as we go from this place. Let it remain in our hearts, in our minds, and on our tongues, that we would speak according to your will and your righteousness. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, lekker. I think I'm done. Hey? Okay, so we're finishing the Lord's Prayer this morning, and the title is Leader and Deliverer. And one of the things last week when I was trying to escape my birthday, I found out that the young men in that we were camping with, our boys, they have a unlimited ability to cause a crow's nest when fishing. The immense capacity that they have to have new and exciting ways to not just tangle their own rod, but that of the brother next to them. And so I somehow became the nominated untangler. Maybe there was something for me in there. I became the guy. A lot of guys wanted to just cut the, ons knip my net. And I said, no, wacht. Kom ons probeer eerst. There was one that I was like, okay, this one. We're just going to release. And then this morning when I came back, I picked up a cable, a kracht cable, and I was doing the same thing. And I realized this is just part of what the Lord has called me to do, is to untangle. This is my cross to bear. So bear with me as I try and untangle something here this morning. And I trust that it will be according to God's word. Because we're looking at, you can hear my voice isn't so lekker. I had something that I brought back from the camp, which wasn't fish. I caught something. Nobody caught a fish. I caught a cold. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it's a curious scripture, isn't it? It's a curious scripture. We sort of not very comfortable about this part. But I think that we actually pray this without knowing it, because in terms of the God is spirit and his words are spirit and they are life. And so the Holy Spirit within us ministers to us to pray according to his will. Right, and so we read this and it sounds a little blunt and it sounds like why would God lead us into temptation? That's actually not his heart. We just heard the word, he won't. So there must be something here that we are tangling, and we was cooked it, and now we take that and let's untangle it a little bit this morning. Let's untangle it a little bit. I trust that we will leave this place fully encouraged to pray this part of the Lord's Prayer as well, because it is so important. You know that when we've been working through the Lord's Prayer, I read this illustration. This man said it's like a ladder to heaven. It starts at the top rung, and we sort of work our way down. It starts with the Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it switches like halfway down the ladder. You start to get to now, okay, where it gets closer to our, where the rubber hits the road. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us. And then we hit the road, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's where we are this morning. It starts to get really real. And in our walk from this place, this week, one of the prayers that we really need to make sure we pray is this one. We need to get through. We need to understand our conversation with God as we pray at all times without ceasing. But here is a part of the prayer that really is where the rubber hits the road. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't want to focus on the temptation and the evil, but I think we need a clear understanding of what is actually referred to here. Right? That's why I read the scriptures beforehand, just to land that a bit in our hearts already. Let us just take a moment. What is he talking about? What did Jesus want us to be led away from and delivered from when he gave this instruction on how to pray? And I'm not here to give you something new. I trust that I'll be reminding you as we've looked at the scriptures. Let's start with temptation. I had a chuckle, a little bit on a side note. There was a judge who was asked in the previous dispensation when they had a little bit more control on things like pornography and things like that. There was a judgment that where they had a tension about whether this picture is now pornographic or not. And they had to really struggle with the definition. And so the judge said something like this. He said, "I don't have a definition, but I'll know it when I see it." So when I speak about temptation, we have some definitions, some helpful things to stimulate our thinking. But I mean, honestly, you guys don't really need me to explain too much about what temptation is, right? But let's just go through it anyway. It's interesting, the word temptation, we translate it temptation or trial. It appears 22 times, I think, in the New Testament, and most of the time it's translated trial. So a temptation that is a trial is more something that is external, right? And it's something that comes from the outside to test your character, your endurance, or your faith. A temptation, same word, with a different context, would be something that comes from the inside. Something from inside. In your heart. It reflects books, but nog steeds iets wil doen. Nee? And we see its desire. We saw in James, the outcome of temptation is to try and get to death. The same thing can happen to you that could be either a trial or a temptation, depending on the context of how you work it out. I have an example. A friend of mine recently was with his family in Cape Town, and he shared the story. They were driving, looking for parking, and there, they're near the town center, and there's Mavericks. Who knows what Mavericks is? Don't put your hand up. And the son says, "Daar's 'n kaal vrou." And the father says, "Sy kry seker koud." And he does not lift up his eyes to where the illustration is. And in that moment, the father passes a test and illustrates to the son his love for his wife. Right? The same event in the context, because the father has a love and he's teaching his son about not making people objects, becomes a trial that he passes and his character is tested and he brings a teaching to his son. And we know how that temptation could have gone, right? So, just to bring us to the scripture, let's look at James again. James says this very same thing. James chapter 1, the word trial and temptation is the same one in the Greek because it's talking about the context. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. File that little part there, promise to those who love him. Just file it. We're going to get into that just now in another scripture. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Right? You see what's happening here? Jesus lead us not into temptation. Temptation starts with my own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, the children are fortunate, all at Children's Church, how does conception work? It takes two to tango. Yes? I see some nods. When temptation lures you and you engage with it, it will conceive and give birth to sin. But your condition is not hopeless yet. Condition is never hopeless, but here's where it goes. Sin will continue to grow. Unrepentant sin will continue to mature. And it matures into something called death. It will not mature into something called life. It cannot. It does not have the capacity. Right? When you tango with sin, when you tango with temptation and it gives birth to sin, it will result in death. Spiritual death. That's just the way it works. That's how the cookie crumbles. And so here we have this introduction where James helps us understand what's the difference between a trial and a temptation. And when we pray, "Lead us, Lord, lead us not into temptation," what are we talking about? And this is now where I want to go with 1 John. 1 John 2 has this about our own desires. Our own desires. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh." Now here's the thing. God is good. He does good, makes good, created good. So, I enjoy a meal. I enjoy the flavors. I enjoy a good meal. I enjoy running. I enjoy an adrenaline rush. I don't enjoy it when I'm surfing and something suddenly pops up, but when I see it is not a shark and it swims away and I have that, right? Then I'm like, I'm glad to be alive. Yes, and the desires of the flesh. Here's the thing. There are many things that are good in our lives, but when they become the main thing, your own desire becomes your master. then it results in tangling, and it results in sin, and will result in death. And so the desires of the flesh, I think some of the men can maybe relate a bit more to the desires of the flesh, but the desires of the eyes, sorry women, I have to speak a little bit here. Alles wat mooi is, and alles wat skitter, and alles wat blink. Nee? It's not wrong, but the pursuit of it as your God, as that which gives you value, as that which gives you identity, is sin. And so we have gifts from God. Earlier I said, okay, look, you may have something in your bank account that you want to bless someone with. Bless the missionary, because he does good to us so that through us we can give. We can be givers because he is a giver. And so we give because we are stewards of his things. We are not owners of his things. Okay? And so in its place, here we see the desires of the eyes, alles te hê, die hê, 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 ek wil hê, en dan sal ek gelukkig wees. Therein lies temptation. The pride of life, and this is a tough one. I can almost say this, the position of life. Ek het iets om te sê. I have a ministry. I have a title. I have power. You see, in the gospel, you're called to serve one another. In the gospel, if you are called to lead, you are to serve. You are to give account for those whom you lead. It is not about the pulpit or the ministry or the shine or the Instagram feed. It is about his will, the will of God, which must come to abide in our lives. Because when these things become our pursuit, when these things become the main thing, what is lacking is life. What is lacking, you will not abide forever in that. You cannot find your identity in your experience, in your possession, or your power. You cannot find it in there, because it will come to pass that it will pass away. It's a sure thing. It will pass away. Now you ask me, what is the answer? I struggle. I really experience temptation. You know what? We are not told to pray, Lord, let there be no temptation. Lead me so that there will be no temptation. Temptation is sure to come. It's in fact what he said. Now we have to understand, how do we engage with it? There will be real temptation. While you are alive, you will be tempted. There's good news for you. In some of these areas or in other areas, these are just useful definitions to stimulate our thinking, because like I said, you don't need me to tell you what temptation is. But this helps us understand at least these things. And you know what I see here? I see that the temptation is linked to not loving the Father. Do you see that? When we give in to temptation, when we buy into this narrative, there is an absence of the love of the Father. The love of the Father is not in him. Or I can say, the love of the Father is not in that area of your life. When we are struggling with temptation, we should ask the question, how deep is your love? Because temptation is a trigger to tell me, what is affecting my love of the Father, that this is really a real temptation? Jesus endured real temptation. I find it so amazing. You look at the account in Matthew 4. We look at the temptation of Christ. What happens immediately before his temptation? He gets baptized, and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He hears from the Father again the affirmation of his love for him. From that place, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to experience a temptation by the devil. And I believe, and this is, I'm just going to test this, But one of the reasons why Christ overcame, he had an understanding of the Father's love for him. The temptation was real, more than you. I mean, here's the reality, people. The devil is not omnipresent. Those things that tempt you are probably his messengers. Jesus, face to face with the devil. Okay? You have not yet been tempted like that. Right? You're not Jesus. Okay. Helpful tip. Jesus, when tempted in all things as we are, he understands the love of the Father for him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? That's why I have 1 John 4. Because when we realize, okay, Lord, here is the reality. I want to please you, but genuchtig, this temptation, just every time, ek vang my, ek tangle met hom, en dan sonde, en dan groei dit, en dan dood. Ne? Now, here we get. This is maybe something that we need to contemplate. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. How do we know God loved us? He didn't just say it. He sent his Son. We need to contemplate this. It is enough. The message of the Son is enough. If we meditate on this fact, that God loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, God loved us. And he sent who? He sent his Son, the treasure of heaven, to live in our place. And not just to live in our place, but to be a propitiation for us. We love because he first loved us. What does propitiation mean? It is the sacrifice that was poured out once a year on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ, once and for all, went into the Holy of Holies, not made with man's hands, not this tabernacle we had made as a representation, or the tent made with stones as a representation, which was also removed afterwards. He went into the heavens and became the propitiation on the mercy seat, the throne of God, for our sins. Himself, his blood, entered in. And when we contemplate the love of the Father displayed in this sacrifice, how can we but respond, this temptation will not be my master? I will love the Father and do his will in response to what he has done. So that is the invitation for us this morning. Contemplate. If there is something that is taking hold of your heart, it is maybe something of the flesh or of the eyes or some invitation to exercise your power in an ungodly way. Ask the Lord, where am I falling short in my love of the Father? Let me understand from the love of the Father for me what has been purchased in the heavens to make a way. It's a good tip. What does Dion say? You missed a good place to say amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, that's translated in some translations, deliver us from the evil one. It can include that. I don't have a problem with that. Deliver us from evil. Evil is the reality that where the will of God is not lived and his righteousness not displayed, the result is evil. It is a reference here to the consequences. As James puts it, death. Right? In James, this word death here represents spiritual death. And what happens in life, right? We understand we have internal temptations. And now we have a reminder about God's But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us while we were dead in our trespasses. Yeah?
Ephesians 2. Raised us together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And this is not of yourself. It is the work of God. Yet there are other people who are giving in to temptation around you. You may be walking in this victory now. You say, Lord, lead me. But now the reality is, why is there still evil in this world?
Well, it started in the garden. We rebel against his will. The consequence is spiritual death and eventual death. Right?
And why is there still evil? Well, God's will, as displayed in Jesus Christ, is still not received. And his righteousness is still not displayed. So evil will still prevail here. There will still be evil experienced by us. The consequences of other people giving into temptation may still manifest against us and cause misery.
I mean, have you looked on the news lately? Doesn't seem like a very nice place to be right now. Things are rather tense. Because there is evil. There is evil because the will of God is not pursued. And we experience that. And one of the things that evil does, it wants to oppress. It's in its nature. Evil wants to oppress. It wants to rule. It wants to dominate. Okay? And so we live in a world where because people are giving into temptation, they are taking hold of the power of life for their own purposes and not for the good of God's kingdom. It will manifest evil against people who are subject to that. It's a sure thing. And so we experience this and we have this encouragement where Jesus says not only to lead us not into temptation, but pray, deliver us from evil. And I was contemplating this. I was like, Lord, okay, help me illustrate this. He reminded me of Paul. That's why I have the scripture from 2 Timothy. Let us have an understanding about the work done by God to deliver us and what deliverance is and maybe what it is not. Because sometimes when we understand things incorrectly, then our hope is on something else. And here's the thing. If we have the wrong hope for deliverance, we will be disappointed in the outcome that God actually does. And so here Paul, this is his last letter. 2 Timothy is his last letter. He is facing his execution in this world. Okay? He has an awareness that the end is drawing near in this box. And he writes to his friend, son in the faith, Timothy, and he writes about oppression that he suffered because of his pursuit of God's kingdom. The trial probably where he was sentenced to death, but he says here, he's referring to this trial, everybody left him, everybody left, nobody stood up for him, he was oppressed, and he says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. What did the lion want to do? He walks around like a roaring lion. There we go. Yeah. But he did not silence Paul from proclaiming the gospel. In his trial, Paul proclaims the word fully to those who are about to act evilly against him. In his oppression, he is modeling Christ. And in his oppression, in his suffering here, he says not only this, he says, the Lord will rescue me or deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. He has the right hope set before him.
he has the right perspective of what he is going towards. His hope is not in this life. He's passing through. His deliverance. Because Colossians says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Has delivered us where? When? Paul understands his deliverance took place at the cross. At the cross of Christ is the deliverance completed, that he is walking out and he will not be oppressed. He will not be silent. He will not stop proclaiming the gospel, even though it was going to cost him his life in this world. It's encouraging, isn't it? I think it's amazing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The consequences, other people's choices they are taking against us. We can pray, God, deliver us. The word deliver is like, you know, when someone's going down a river and they're going washed away and someone comes and they just snatch them out. We get to pray this. Lord, deliver me. And maybe it'll be to the heavenly kingdom right now. Like Paul had the right expectation. Right? Because that is the message throughout Scripture, that God is the deliverer, not man. It is the message we see through the Exodus. God is the mighty deliverer. He is the one who raises his hand. He is the one who performs signs and wonders to lead a people out of oppression through the wilderness to the promised land. He is the deliverer. And so I want us to take a moment. We've got time this morning. Before I finish, let's turn to one another. I want us to turn to one another. Turn to the person next to you. You got someone next to you. Shift this. If you're two or three, it's fine. Yeah. Het amala Mikey. Can I put on chapter 6, verse 13, Matthew 6, verse 13? And we get to pray. So there may be something in your life where you are saying, Lord, there is something where my love for the Father needs to grow so that I can, like Christ, walk in that victory. Notice how Jesus says here, lead us. It is a vulnerable place. Lead us not into temptation. Let's turn to one another and share what it is that you need to grow in. His love for you. Can we do that as a people who have put our trust in him? Okay, I'll join this group. Okay, you only get to share one temptation. As we finish that, I wanna continue in this moment. I wanna continue to zoom in on something that we are to pray, deliver us from evil. And where can our confidence come from that he will fulfill that prayer? We looked at the word propitiation, and the people would bring a sacrifice and it would make propitiation for the sins of the people. That's God's people. And this is our trust. This is our trust. His sacrifice, once and for all, is sufficient for the sin of the world, but it only applies to the people who've put their trust in him. Don't be confused about that. The wrath of God was poured out on the Son of God. But for those who have not put their trust in Jesus, it does not apply. The propitiation has not been made. There is no universalism in the scriptures. We have a commission to preach the good news of what Christ has done once and for all, but you have to put your trust in Him, because deliverance was purchased by Him on a cross for us. Okay? Deliverance by Him. Deliverance from evil, because He suffered evil in our place. No one else suffered evil in my place. And so my trust is wholly in Him, who not only suffered evil in my place, but was raised in my place, so that I can live in Him and through Him for the glory of Him. So we take seriously this prayer. Lord, lead me, lead us, not into temptation. Yes, we want to see victory over things. Let us pass trials and let us flee from temptation. But Lord, deliver us from evil and let me be an instrument to bring that to the world around me, because there is deliverance in no other name. There is only the domain of darkness and the kingdom of the Son of Love. And so, Father, I want to come and just, as we finish this series on how You taught us to pray, Father, I pray for us to have daily reminders as we go from this place, that we would know Your character, that You are rich in mercy and You have great love for us, that You have displayed already, and our faith and our trust can be in You. And that You will deliver us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom, now and the kingdom not yet, the kingdom of heaven. I want to read us a scripture as we finish from Hebrews 2. If you want to go and wrestle a bit more with this idea of temptation, trials, and the endurance, right? Here's a great letter to read, because it's a letter written to people who attempted to concede the faith. Read Hebrews. Hebrews' invitation is all the time. Consider Him. Consider Christ, who in all things was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Who suffered, but for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. And in Hebrews 2, the whole time I was preparing, I felt the Holy Spirit say, read Hebrews, read Hebrews. I just didn't have time. So last night, just before I went to bed, I read Hebrews. It's a bit of a speed read. And I realized, chapter 2, verse 14, it's not going to be up there. I want you to listen to this and trust that that which you heard will fall into line with what is said here. In Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 18. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself, that's Jesus Christ, likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery, oppression. For surely it is not angels that He helps, but He helps the offspring of Abraham, those who have faith like Him. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And I pray that that would be the testimony of your life. Will you stand with me? The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are welcome.